At a moment in our national history when divisions threaten the very fabric of our society, it's essential to remember the values that we share, despite the rich diversity of our creeds and our origins. Reading the recent call to action by Suhag Shukla, executive director of the Hindu American Foundation, titled "Dharma Demands Us to Fight for Racial Justice," reinforce this all the more, and I'm very happy to have Suhag with us again on State of Belief Radio. Suhag, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Welton. I'm happy to be here.
I know you, and when I read your gripping piece, I said to myself, these words were burning in Suhag's being. She had to share them. Your numerous administrative responsibilities leave you very little time to write, I know, though you are a good writer. But what happened? What made you write this piece?
You know, so I had spent the weekend at the protests and had been working with our staff for just our official statement, condemning the brutal killing of Mr. George Floyd and acknowledging too many of the other black lives that are lost to police brutality. And I think being a part of the protests and then the very next day being a part of the cleanup where people of all different ages and races were coming together in my city, the city of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, it had really hit home more so than usual. I mean, I think being in a civil rights and human rights space, these types of issues resonate, but it's a matter sometimes of, as you rightly pointed to, bandwidth and time and resources that we don't speak up even though we are moved to. But this has been such a long-standing issue and one that really viscerally touched me. And even as I was, I made the decision that I need to get these feelings out in terms of, what are the Hindu teachings that are compelling me to want to do something more, that I sat down to write, and literally in the middle of my first paragraph, all of a sudden I smelled something very strong coming through the window, and it was actually tear gas because I live just 50 feet away from the traditional spaces that public protests are held here in Philadelphia. And it really just flowed. Oftentimes when you don't get a chance to write very often, it's kind of hard to sit down and have the words come out. But I think that this national moment where so many of us are moved to action, it just kind of came together.
Yeah. Well, it came together really well. You wrote that Hindus need to bring Hinduness to the forefront of all you do in advocacy and in interaction with others. What does that mean? What in the essence of Hinduism can impact for good the racial difficulties that we're experiencing?
So if I were to simplify it down to one word, it's dharma. And dharma is one word that cannot be defined by a single word. But I recently heard someone describe it really beautifully, that the essence of dharma is selflessness, of acting in a way that puts the needs of others first, acting in a way that recognizes what the Hindu tradition calls out as our shared divinity, that we are all embodiments of consciousness or the absolute or God or the divine, whatever you want to call it, that is what unifies all of existence. And this is, it transcends even just human existence. I'm talking about a shared divinity with the earth, with the animal and plant kingdom, with everything. And so this idea of ensuring that our, and it's not just action, it's our thoughts and our words. And that is what, to me, is at the core of racial injustice, that we have these preconceived ideas in our heads based on the color of one's skin or someone's socioeconomic class or gender or sexual identity or orientation, whatever these things are. We come into our interactions with one another with thought to first, you know, just begin that interaction. And then it comes out through our words and our actions. And so what I was trying to bring out is that if we go to the fundamentals of Hindu teachings, and selflessness then becomes kind of the foundation for compassion, for nonviolence, for non-greed, and for non-harming, all of these things that I think are critical to not just legislative action that might be needed, but even going down to even the basics of just conversation and thought, that how do we think about others? And very often what happens with the Hindu community is that we don't necessarily wear our Hinduness on our sleeves, even though it might come across in our interactions. So my call was kind of twofold. One is that if it's not coming through in your interactions, through your thoughts, words, and actions, be more mindful of that. The second piece of it was that articulated as that. So in your interactions with people who are not Hindu, explain these traditions because the teachings are actually universally applicable. They don't require any like allegiance or conversion to the faith to find benefit that's going to serve a greater good.
Yeah. You mentioned more than once the African-American and Hindu-Indian friendship, philosophical exchange and cooperation, as well as you note the profound influence of Mahatma Gandhi's Satyagraha soul truth force on Martin Luther King Jr. Does that wisdom still remain in the minds of Hindus who are now living many years after the vision and values and works of Gandhi and King?
I think they largely do. It's a history that people, I think, only know about on the surface. I mean, even before Mahatma Gandhi's interaction with African Americans, Swami Vivekananda, who came here for the Parliament of the World's Religions back in the late 1890s, he also felt great resonance in seeing what, you know, how African Americans were treated in this country. You know, you had on paper a vision that's articulated in our Constitution, and then he came here and saw the reality of it. And very often he would prefer sitting in you know, transportation like trains and buses that were reserved for people of color, or where they were relegated to, as a brown Indian Hindu saint. So, you know, there's a long history, there's a deep history that I think people need to explore for sure, because there's a lot there. In terms of Mahatma Gandhi, you know, we know it on the surface, but like we're seeing, I think, just not just in the context of Mahatma Gandhi, but many historical figures, there is a trend to sometimes bring out the worst of those heroes, especially if they have kind of ascended to a point of worship, and people then want to kind of bring those people down. And so there have been academics and other things that have talked about how Mahatma Gandhi had actually racist ideas during his time in South Africa, or some of his other practices where he was trying to test his real commitment to celibacy. So there are, you know, what my attitude is that no person is perfect and no person is defined by a single story. And so there are positives to be learned. And with Mahatma Gandhi, you know, anytime I found that if you bring up that there was this friendship, people will immediately say, well, look at this. He had these racist ideas. But I think what we can learn from that is that every human being is fallible. But second, and most importantly, that every human being has the capacity to change. And if someone who was a leader like Mahatma Gandhi from a very young age, his ideas evolved through interaction with different people, and namely African Americans, then that is what we need to look at. And that should give us hope that every single one of us, and that's part of the reason why I even have that as part of my kind of call to action, that take a look at your friend circle. Is it diverse? If it's not, meet other people. It's very hard to demonize other people or stereotype them if you're friends.
Yeah, yeah. You raise a question that every one of us needs to ask in our own tradition, after giving us values that are important for all of us. You ask, what can Hindu Americans do? I'd like you to answer that, but I wish you would answer it talking about all of us and not just about Hindus. How do you answer that question?
I think it can be different things for different people, depending on, you know, what is feasible, where we can maybe provide the greatest impact, and where I think we are, pushing the boundaries of our own growth. So, you know, I did mention making friends. That is something that anyone, regardless of background, can benefit from, that broadening our circles of care and compassion allow us to build empathy towards the experiences of other people. The number one thing, regardless of whether someone is Hindu American or not, is to acknowledge that racism is real. Mm-hmm. And I think what happens, especially, I don't want to say especially, but amongst many communities, is that there's a fear that in acknowledging something, that it ends up kind of making it us versus them. And I don't think that that's necessary. I think that all of us carry ideas about other people that we need to work through. And where we recognize that those ideas have been, I think, cemented in institutional systems, I think we need to really start working through those. And there comes in my third step, which is to vote and to engage our elected leadership and make sure that they are implementing those types of changes and are kind of going through that same process of trying to recognize where we might have biases and fix them. And you know, there's a number of other steps, volunteering with charities, local charities where they are working to empower not just African-American youth, but other youths in need. These are all opportunities that anyone, if they just take the time to seek out where they might find their best fit and where they might be able to contribute, are ways in which, because the solution to this, there's no single solution. It's going to be multifaceted, and therein lies the opportunity for all of us to do something to make change.
Suhag Shukla is Executive Director of the Hindu American Foundation and a great friend. Her important call to action is titled, Dharma Demands Us to Fight for Racial Justice, and we'll link to that from stateofbelief.com. Suhag, it's great talking with you as always. Thank you so much for being with us again on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you, Welton, and do take care of yourself.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you've made a donation to State of Belief Radio this week, let me say a very sincere thank you. Your generous support of this program is vital to keeping us on the air. And if you think there's value in what you've heard here and you think it's important that others hear it as well, please make your contribution today. Find more information at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. And do you know someone who you think might benefit from hearing what you're hearing? Please commit to sharing State of Belief with just one other person this week. With so many of us struggling with isolation these days, it can be very helpful to hear encouraging words and civil conversations around the issues that we all care about the most. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform, and take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be a part of the conversation. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, you all take care of each other. I'm Welton Gaddy. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.